Welcome to Ballpark Nuts with Caleb, Bryson, Marshall, and Chase.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Ballpark Nuts. Back to another episode of Fantasy Friday. We've been missing out on Fantasy Friday for, I guess we missed last week, so I guess 2 weeks is since our last one. So just one episode of Fantasy Friday missed, but, you know, it's a while in between. So, Bryson, I'll let you take it away.
Awesome. Sounds good. Yeah, we apologize for missing last week. We just couldn't figure out the scheduling stuff, so we missed a week, but we will try to not let that happen again, so we're back again this week.
And we're missing Caleb today, though.
Yeah, missing Caleb, but we will do our best to represent him. Yeah. Man down, but we'll get through this without him. We'll power through. Today we're doing a little thing I saw. I think I saw it on Twitter. I can't quite remember where I saw it, so I apologize. I can't shout them out, but it's just basically fake out or breakout. And we each got a couple guys who we think are faking you out with their fantasy performances so far this season, and a couple guys who we think are legitimately breaking out and are guys that I guess you could say you want to target long-term. I know a lot of our fantasy stuff has kind of been redraft, but these are guys, at least for me, that I think you can target, not just for this season, but for seasons to come. And at the end, we'll just go over a couple prospects that we just are seeing are performing well to start the year. Just give them a little spotlight, nothing too crazy in depth, just a little shout out for them at the end. Perfect. Yeah, I guess I can kick it off with my first fake out. We'll start with the fake outs. Okay. My first fake out, maybe, I don't say controversial, but it's a guy who's been on a tear this year, and that's Jorge Mateo of the Baltimore Orioles. And he's been, it sounds like to be saying that he's a fake out is tough because he has made a lot of good changes in his, like, what I've seen from his stats and his Statcast page and stuff. Like, he's not doing anything like where you're like, oh, that's not sustainable. Like, all of his stuff that he's doing right now is pretty sustainable. However, it's just that for me, it's like I just don't see how a guy who at his age, not that it hasn't happened before, but a guy who's been in the league as long as he's been in, like, he's 27. This is his third season. And generally, he's played from most of his games in the first couple of seasons. Like, he hasn't been super injury prone. He's got his fair amount of games in. And yeah, like, just looking at his Fangraphs page, I'm just like, man, like, this is just kind of come out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, last year he had, I guess, 2021
he just had that speed. Like, he was always swiping bags, but he's
yeah,
he's
really, like, he was always a guy that you were like, yeah, this guy's going to steal me a lot of bases, and he's gonna play pretty good defense. But he was never really like a fantasy guy where you're like, yeah, I gotta have this guy on my team. Like, I had him on one of my dynasty leagues last year. And I went into the season and I was like, oh man, I don't have a shortstop because my only shortstop was Jorge Mateo. Yeah, so I was like panicking and I was like trying to make a trade. Yeah, exactly. I was trying to make trades and I ended up trading for Bo Bichette because I thought I needed a shortstop. Right. And now this guy's going off. And not that having Bo Bichette's a bad thing, but I just never saw this coming. And he's made some changes. Like, I saw a tweet on Twitter. Obviously on Twitter, that was showing kind of some of his, like, stat improvements. So he has made a lot of improvements, but I just don't think it's sustainable. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. Like, I don't think he's going to be a bad player necessarily. Like, he always, with his stolen bases, he always provides some value for your fantasy team. I just don't think he's going to be this level where he's, like, one of the top – he's not a top 10 shortstop, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, especially on Baltimore. Like, it's tough to be a top player there. And that's – well, I mean, honestly, they got a decent future, though, so – who knows? See if they can develop it.
Yeah, you never know. It's just, I think he's just hard-pressed to sustain this level of consistency in production.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, well, I can go next because I also had Jorge Mateo, so I might as well go next. Like,
nice.
Like, I have one of the same with Bryson and one of the same with Chase. It just worked out like that, I guess. These guys really
just think alike.
I have Jorge Mateo. When I wrote this little thing about him, he was batting 372 with 3 home runs and 12 RBIs early in the season, and he's a career 234 hitter. So, like, it's a big jump.
Really bump that up.
Like, I would be surprised if he can even hold in above 300. That's for sure. He's just, like Bryson was saying, not sustainable. So, I don't know much else to say about him, but
yeah, that's fair. See him being like like kind of bouncing out to being like a 250 or 260 hitter for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like over 300, I don't think his spot is in his wheelhouse.
But well, definitely better than it has been their past couple seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's for so sure. many.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say there's so many guys in the early in the MLB season that's batting like crazy 300s.
I got a good fake out for that. Okay. Yeah, I'll go.
You're up, Chase.
I got Brandon Lau for my first breakout.
Breakout wait, or fake out?
Oh, we're doing fake out first?
Yeah, fake out first. Yeah.
Oops. Now I understand why you guys are saying it's not sustainable. Oops.
Right.
Alrighty then. Flip back over. Fake out. I got Kyle Freeland. My second one is better, but I got Kyle Freeland. Before we had really kind of made these lists like last week in plan for last Friday, but I'll still stick with it. And Marshall is we're kind of feeling the same energy on Kyle Freeland. But before his most recent start this past week, he was 2-0 with a 2.85 ERA, and with
0.96.
His best season had 2.85 ERA. Sorry, I'm just misreading what I have written down here. So yeah, 0.96 you said, or 0.096 ERA.
Yeah,
like just absolute heater start to the season. Like I picked him up in my one league. I think it might have been just my league at the school, but I picked him up there just because I was like, well, I'll take another start of him, not expecting him to get any like. Much more good starts. Like I expected to get one or two more good starts on him. That didn't even happen because he got absolutely blasted this past start. But like,
yeah,
insane good start. Like one of the best pitchers in the league. If you would just look at his first two starts, but that is definitely not sustainable. Especially if you're looking at his career, like he's been in the career since 2018. He's a career 4.20 ERA with, and I said before, his best season was 2.85. And that was, I think, his second year. So, like, 2019 season. So, like, it's been a while since he had a good ERA. And, like, it's just not going to happen, especially when you're on the Rockies. Like, Germán Márquez is, like, a pretty good pitcher. Like, he'd be an upper mid-level pitcher. And, like, I have a tough time keeping him on my fantasy league because every week I'm like, he might have a good start, but he might let in one run and get the loss. Just because the Dodgers, right. I mean, the Rockies aren't putting any runs on the board. So,
not to mention, every time he starts, they have a start at Coors Field, you're like, oh boy, because this is just like.
Yeah, that too. Just letting, just bombs after bombs.
Yeah, it's just such an easy place to give up home runs.
You'd think there'd be an excuse of, oh, the Rockies should hit just as good as the other teams in the. In Coors Field or whatever, but they just don't. So
pitching, they just don't.
Pitching in the Rockies in
CJ Crohn's the only one who does.
CJ Crohn's disease.
The only one who
Chris Bryant might have sometimes.
McMahon.
Yeah, hit a homer today, but
yeah, it's not very many guys. That's for sure.
Yeah,
but yeah, I also have him
on that team.
It's my fake out.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Back to the top, Bryce.
Might as well go for your second there then.
Sounds good. I have two kind of. They're almost like identical to me, so I put them both down as kind of like the same. And it's two pitchers, and the first one is Graham Ashcraft of the Cincinnati Reds.
I also thought about him.
Yeah, like he's a guy who's kind of like it's tough to judge a whole lot because last year was his kind of first real MLB experience. So like basing like his stats last year, like it's kind of you always kind of have to take it with a grain of salt when it's a guy's first time in the league. Yeah. But he pitched 105 innings last year, so like, that's a fair amount of sample size, and he had an ERA of 4.8. His expected ERA was a little bit lower, but it's still projected to be 4.02. So like, that wasn't great. But this year, he's had an ERA of 1.42 in three games started, but his expected ERA is 3.42, which still isn't a bad ERA by any means, like 3.42, right. Like you'll take that. But yeah. I just think, again, being on Cincinnati, you're not going to get a ton of run support. And
those lower level teams for pitchers is tough.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the things where, like, you generally, like, a rule of thumb in fantasy is, like, there are some outliers, but generally you want to get, you don't really want pitchers on bad teams, because even if they pitch well, you're probably never going to
Yeah,
get the win
exactly.
or very few wins. And
Yeah.
then the other guy who's kind of similar to him, a little bit different, a little bit older, and that's Johan Oviedo. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, of the
Oh,
Pittsburgh
yeah.
Pirates. Yeah,
That's a good
probably
one.
mispronounced
He's
his name.
actually
He's
doing
only
really well this year.
he's only 25, so, like, it's like he's not super old. I thought he was way older. He's only 25. But in 2020, he got his first taste of the majors with St. Louis when he was 22. And he pitched to a 5.47 ERA with an expected ERA of 7.17. So not great, but again, he was 22, first time in the
Yikes.
majors. Take it with a grain of salt. Next year, 20 or no, sorry, 2021, he got another chance with St. Louis in the bigs, and he pitched 62 innings, and he had an ERA of 4.9 with an expected ERA of 5.8. And then last year in 2022, he spent most of his time, or he pitched 50 innings in AAA with St. Louis, and he had an ERA of over 5. And then he came to the majors last year, and he had an ERA of 3.2. So you're like, oh man, this guy's getting better.
It's
And
just
then
a
this year, yeah, and this year in 2023, he's got an ERA of 2.2, and his expected ERA is even only 2.75. So, like, it's not like he's getting lucky or things are just kind
Right.
of breaking his way. Like, he's not expected to have a higher ERA. But it's like, to this guy just kind of come out of nowhere. It's just one of those things where it's like, is this a guy that you want to target in a long-term fantasy league, or is this a guy that you'd rather sell high on? I would absolutely be selling high on him.
I think
Because
you
it's
should.
just, it's tough. It's tough for, like, guys to just kind of come out of nowhere like that. Like, generally with pitchers, like, it
I
happens,
was
don't
gonna
get me
say some
wrong, but it's
is.
usually, a lot of times it's one season. You know, they'll have one really good season, or they'll have a two really good seasons, but it's like, you know, a guy who struggled through the minors to barely keep his ERA above under six. Like, honestly, like, he was borderline. Like, almost every year he pitched in the minors, he was over five
It's an
or
anomaly for
around
sure to be right now.
nothing. I'm looking at his Fangraphs. Actually, he was never had an ERA below three until he got to the majors last year.
Nice.
Wow.
That's good
So.
stats. I feel the same way. I had about Kyler Freeland. I said if this year is even sustainable for him, I don't expect it to be another year next year the same. Like I said, if he's going to do like a 2018 repeat, I would expect it to only be a 1 year repeat and then
Yeah.
back to where he was last next year. So kind of the same thing there.
Unless he gets moved, like, I don't know what his contract is, but, you know, moving could help his case as well. So,
I pulled an Oviedo rookie card auto in 2021.
oh
Yeah, sold it for like $5.
no,
Should have held it till now.
bit of
Had no idea who he was
fair
until like right now.
enough. So Bryson said his name. Alrighty. Is that, are we, Chase, have you done your second fakeout
I
yet?
have not done my second. I guess, oh
Okay,
yeah,
go
your
for
second
it.
one's Freeland though, so
My second one is, I've got all mine taken out already, so.
right. Forgot about that.
Yeah, no worries.
I got my boy Joey Gallo.
Ooh.
The hot start to the season, he's kind of cooled off a little bit, but he's batting what is it, like 280 something?
Yeah, something like, he hit a home run today, actually. Hit a solo.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh shoot, I'm on Kyle Freeland, that's why. Joey Gallo.
That's our guy.
Yeah,
He's
he's got
got.
off to a really hot season, especially after his past like two, even three seasons. It's been dicey. And so there's
There's absolutely
absolutely
no way
no way
that
that up what
he's
he's
doing right now. He's
batting
batting.
269. And
And
he's
he's
hit 81, 199, and 160 in his past three seasons. And before
that.
that, 204, 0.04, 209, 206, 253, and then 181, 199, 160. Like this guy is getting to 200 is like that's a crisp high five right there, just hitting 200 for him. So about 269, this is the best season he's had in his, like, this is his best career season right now. And there's just no way that this is sustainable. His K rate is right around normal, 30% plus K. So that's pretty normal. We lost Bryson.
I did lose Bryson. That's all right.
That's right.
He'll be back. Yeah.
It's just not sustainable.
No, I'll chip it. Like with Joey, like people will argue that the shift help him out or whatever, but it's not helping him out to the extent of what he's doing right now. Like,
no,
he's batting. What did you say? 270?
Yeah. 269.
269. So yeah, like he might be a 240 hitter with the new shift. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
Like that's a good season for Joey Gallo. Even over 220 is a good season for Joey Gallo. If he can hit 30 home runs. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy. If you have him on your team, try to sell him now. Try to get
good. Yeah, definitely get any value. Squeeze any value out of him that you can.
Yeah.
I'm back. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
Good. Good to be back.
We'll start you off right at breakout number one there, Bryson. Then.
All right, my first breakout is Nolan Gorman of the St. Louis Cardinals.
I like it.
He was a guy who like came into the majors last year, and he was okay. He wasn't great. He only hit 226, and he had 14 home runs and 35 RBI. Sorry, so not great. He really struggled with his K rate. That was like the big thing for him. He struck out 33% of the time.
That's tough.
So that's pretty tough.
Joey Gallo numbers.
Yeah, that's like home run or strikeout. That's like those are two options. But this year he's dropped his K rate down to 25%, which again still isn't super good, but it's still a lot better than 33%. And he's hitting .326 with an expecting batting average of .306. So it's like he's hitting well, and he's not expected, like it's not, again, it's not luck involved. Like he's kind of right around where he's supposed to be as far as his average goes. He's got four home runs already. In 52 plate appearances and 13 RBIs. And he's got 8 walks and 13 strikeouts. So small sample size this season, but I think he's always had the ability. He's got a big bat. He's got a lot of power. Mm-hmm. So I think if he can get, if he keeps his K rate in check, I think he's a guy that's going to really have himself a good season. But again, that's a big if. He's young. So it's easy for them to sometimes chase a lot when you're young.
Yep.
But no, I've been really impressed so far. I had him on my fantasy team last year because I believed in him, and I kind of wish I had drafted him again this year. But
I feel that in some guys.
Yeah, I haven't yet. But yeah, he's having a really good start to the year. He's got a .651 slug. Like he's mashing right now. And so some reason St. Louis sucks. I think it's mostly because of the pitching right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah, like no one on that team can pitch right now. I don't know. Michaelis is just forgotten how to pitch completely.
Honestly, though.
Like Montgomery's been. Montgomery's been pretty up and easy. He's been all right. He's been up and down. And they need Wainwright back, apparently. But yeah, so I took Nolan Gorman for my first breakout. And so he's a guy, again, he's young. I would target him long term as well. Like it might be harder to get him now because he's having a hot start. But if you could still get him, I would try to get him.
Yeah, for sure.
Lots of playing time, I think. In the future for the Cardinals, because they don't have much as far as like infielders besides Goldie and Arenado. Like Edmonds there, obviously, but I mean they got
Edmonds
that
a sleeper. Strong guy. Edmonds a sleeper.
Rough start, but yeah. All right, well I'll go with my first breakout then. I got Jared Kelnick of the Seattle Mariners. So when I wrote this article on him, I guess you can call it an article, little paragraph. he's about .356. With 4 home runs and 7 RBIs with a 1,200 OPS in 13 games. So that's pretty good for him considering his
MLB stats currently.
And I did put him here at the breakout just for the purpose of the advanced stats. Like I have him, he's 95th in the 95th percentile in average exit velocity this year, the 99th percentile in hard hit percentage, and 100th percentile in slugging. So far this year, and he can barrel up. He's got some pop. He's got in the 97th percentile. And I mean, he swiped a few bags. He's got 3 on the season. I think he might have a couple more now. But yeah, it's been a really good start for him. And I almost made a pretty big trade with for him in my ESPN fantasy league. So, and I still might. So, it's brewing. It's brewing.
Yeah, he had such like high hopes coming in when he got drafted. Like, he's had so much hype around him, and his first game, he had, I think, a home run and a double or a single. He played really good his first game and just couldn't do anything after that and plummeted. It's been tough for him ever since.
Yeah. So. Well, I heard he's had a big mindset change, too. I watched a couple videos on
him. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. He should be able to keep a sustainable good batting and a good defense as well. So
nice. Nice. Good to hear.
Looking up for that guy. That young chap.
Love to see it.
Yeah, love to see it for sure.
Okay, well, for my first one, I got Brandon Lau. As I said before, he's getting paid $4 million a year. That's it, $4 million.
Ooh.
Till the end of next year. 28 years old right now, and he's playing well. He was at the time that we were going to record this last week. He was doing a little bit better, but he really hasn't dropped off at all. Like, he's got 6 home runs. He's batting .291. So, like, he's got pop, 15 RBIs. He's got pop and he's got hit for average. So,
well, walk off win for the Rays today was a Brandon Lau homer in the ninth. So,
oh, nice. So, I guess we can add that to 7 home runs.
Add that to his name.
Yeah, 7 home runs
for you. Yeah.
How's that in?
Walking 16.4% of the time. So, that's good.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. His K rate's 24%. So, he can cut down on that a little bit. But, like, I talked about him early in the season. Like, if he's healthy, he's one of the best second base in the league. And he's been healthy this year and he's been proving it. So I'm happy to say that if he stays healthy, this is definitely a breakout year for him.
I agree. I like him. I like the walk rate is being that high.
Yeah.
Those guys, they can always get on base even if they're not getting hits. Exactly. Or valuable.
Yeah, as long as you're getting on base.
You love those walk points, just better than butt outs, or you love just a good.
Exactly.
Got to walk.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you're in the categories league, then your OBP is just going to be
through the roof.
All right. My second breakout is a pitcher, and that is Jesus Luzardo of the Miami Marlins. This is a guy who is a pretty highly touted prospect for a lot of years coming up. And he kind of floundered a little bit when he finally did make it up to the majors.
True.
And he debuted in 2019, really didn't get a decent amount of work until 2020. He got 59 innings pitched. He kind of hovered around like a 4.5-5 ERA for a couple years there.
Oakland did not do him well.
No, he was very, very lucky to get out of Oakland. Last year when he got to Miami, he pitched 100 innings for them, started 18 games. He had a pretty good ERA, like ERA 3.32. Like, that's really good. And so you kind of could almost see a breakout happening. And then he came out this year and he's pitching really well. He's got a 2.74 ERA. He's pitching 23 innings so far. He's got 26 strikeouts, so he's over a strikeout per inning.
Nice.
He's only walked 8 batters. That was a big thing for him, was control. Kind of struggled with his control when he first came up, and so to see only 8 batters walked in 4 starts so far, that's, you like to see that. And I think, again, being in Miami, I think has really helped him a lot. They've got a really good pitching development team there, and so I think he's only going to get better. So he's a guy that, he's kind of one of those guys that's, he's 25, but it feels like he's been around for a lot longer just because he was such a highly touted prospect. But I think the full breakout for him is finally happening, and I don't know what his ceiling is. Like, I don't know if he's going to be a Cy Young candidate per se, but I think he's definitely got, a pitcher, second or third pitcher in your fantasy rotation. You'll be very happy with him.
Yeah, I haven't really paid attention to him all, but that scenery change definitely has put him on the map again, really, honestly.
Yeah, kind of like as for most people who leave Oakland.
Yeah, fair enough. Pretty much.
Oakland's
We'll move over to Vegas.
Oh yeah. I'll do my second one here, but I was just gonna chip in that it's good that we do episodes like this, because like guys like Luzardo that you just said, Bryson, like that's guy like I've never even really heard of this year. So
getting, yeah,
bringing light to those kind of guys.
Bring some awareness.
Yeah, like that's like a, it could be a 10-guy league. These guys don't hear about him. Go pick him up. You won't regret it. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a big name.
Trying to give you here.
My league in school is like, you got it's like a nine person infield and then a utility. So you got 10 guys. So, and then pitchers is like 7. So it's pretty shallow. So
that is very shallow.
Good to know about those guys that are probably definitely going to be on the waivers.
100%. All right. Well, my second guy is my very own Nico Horner on my ESPN league.
Big fan. Big fan.
He's just having a crazy start to the season. He's batting .365 and 85 at bats to start the season. He hit his first home run today, which he's not a big home run guy, but he's young. No, in the past couple of years, he's been just
contact guy. It's all you want. Just get some hits out of him.
Yeah. And he's been a great shortstop like prior to the Swanson trade, but now the Cubs got Swanson, so he's trying to adapt at second base, and he's doing a really good job. So he's a guy that the Cubs love to have in the leadoff spot. He's getting on base a lot and just perfect for fantasy. I think he's the third ranked second baseman in fantasy right now. So
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, pick him up.
Like going it, like that's I've been high on him for a couple of years now because he's just when he's healthy, he's just like, he is that guy. Like he's a really great player, and the health has just been the only concern with him. But So him being healthy, I am 100% very confident in him having that breakout season as well.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, I'll go with my second breakout then. I got my boy Wander Franco, and he is a little bit, this past week, struggling a slight bit, but up to that, he'd been on an absolute tear. Like, that wasn't sustainable, though. Like, he should be probably hitting right around 300, which he is now. If you don't count today's game, he was hitting at 301, which should be kind of right around his average for his season. His K rate is the only thing that is a little bit concerning this year. He's never had a K rate really above 10, and he's at 16.3 this year so far. So it's slightly concerning, but hopefully he can bring that down. Since I talked about it, like since Sunday, I think I wrote this down last week or whatever. He was at a 16.9% K rate, and as of today, he's at 16.3. So it's a little bit. He brought it down a little bit, but he's got 13 RBIs. And, you know, after his rookie season with a little bit of that health issues, he's really never had health issues up until last year. He's been shown that he's that number one prospect caliber now. So it's good to see.
I feel like everyone was so hyped on him last year, and then like what happened with injuries and stuff, everyone kind of just forgot about him this year.
Honestly,
I wouldn't really worry about injuries with him. Like, it can happen to anyone at a young age.
Yeah, like he's not an injury prone guy, so I wasn't worried about it.
And it's different when a guy who's his age gets injured compared to a guy who's in his 30s gets hurt. Like,
actually,
he bounces back a lot faster.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
So if a guy has him in your fantasy league, and then you can try to pull the, oh, he's injury-prone card on them, even though he's not, you might be able to get a good sale on him. You never know. Got to play the mind.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay.
So we move
all
over.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go over to just a prospect. Figured we may as well. Like, I know I'm a big Dynasty guy, so I don't know about if people listening here play, you know, redraft Dynasty or anything like that. But
yeah, add into the audience.
I figured throw in a prospect because that's my favorite thing to do. Is I spend a lot of my spare time just looking at prospects. So one guy that has really caught my eye is he was a first-round pick last year, so it's not like he's an unheard of or anything like that. But I feel like his name kind of flew under the radar, at least in like a lot of my dynasty leagues, and that's Owen Murphy of the Atlanta Braves. He was drafted. I can't remember what pick he was taken, but he was like a mid-round, maybe later first-round pick last year for the Braves. And he's 19, so he's not going to be in the league for a little while, but he's pitching at some A-ball this year. And in his first two starts, he's pitched 7.1 innings, and he's got 11 strikeouts, and he hasn't given up an earned run, and he's only walked 3 batters.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's 19 again, and not A-ball, so like these stats are, you know, it's 2 games.
Yeah.
So it's kind of taken with a grain of salt, but I mean – he's just a name. I feel like he kind of flew under the radar as far as pitching prospects from this last year's class goes. And someone that I had on my radar, but just didn't hear a lot about him, just in on Twitter and stuff like that. So yeah, he's just a guy who's really stood out to me these first few starts, and hopefully he can keep it up. And if you are in a deep dynasty league, and he might be available on your free agency or waiver wire, and if he's on a team, maybe he's a guy that you could sneak into a trade somehow, maybe just like a throw in, but oh, I'll take that guy, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I am not as familiar as Bryson is with all my minor players. Guy's a fantasy stud, but I know the big names, but I just basically for this, I went just kind of checked out this year's stats so far, and I picked what is my favorite probably, Ronnie Mauricio. He's 22 years old, playing in AAA, and he's one of the youngest player, or he's the youngest player to lead in hits, if that makes sense. He's not leading in hits, but he's like the guy that's leading in hits is like 26 years old or something like that. But he's leading in hit, or he's I think the leader was 26 hits, and he has 24. So 24 hits through 67 at bats, batting .358. And he's got lots of power as well. He's got 6 home runs, and the leader across all MLI minor league teams is 8. So I think he's had a great start to the season, as well as being 22 years old in AAA already, with good power and good contact. I think he's had a great start to this season so far.
Yeah, he's a guy that I saw a lot on Twitter last year, like people being like, you know, drop him, trade him, like. It was either last year or the before, he had a pretty rough season.
Okay.
And people were kind of like writing him off. And now this year he's just come out on fire. And it's just funny to see how like
people with minor league prospects. Him.
Yeah. It's like you're so high on a guy and then he struggles, which is expected in development. Him. And you're like, you get rid of him. It's like, no, like, I would say like, if you really were like that hyped on a guy, I would say at that point, it's like, no, like ride buy him. Or write it out or buy him because his value's dropped.
Yeah.
So yeah, honestly, no, I like him too. I think he's a solid prospect for the Mets. That's kind of got kind of forgotten about a little bit.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Well, I got a little bit more of a known guy. He's played a couple games for the Yankees here early on in the season. I mean,
oh,
I didn't expect it, but because of injury, he's up playing. It's Oswald Peraza.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
He's only got 7 at bats this season. He was.
He's done good so far,
but yeah, he's batting .286 this season. Only I think sub 10 at bats, but he's with the Yankees 56 total at bats in his career. He's batting a .304. So, like, I didn't expect that. I didn't know that he was batting that good before I looked at it today. Actually, so
he's honestly just a
guy that should get a lot of playing time in the future for a ball club.
Honestly, it's kind of nice that Donaldson got injured because now it's like. Now we're forced to bring up Peraza and play him.
He played third today. He's never done it in his whole career, minors or anything.
Oh, actually?
Yeah, did well.
Nice. Yeah, he had a couple of nice defensive plays, so that was nice to see.
Yeah. Same with Shorty.
I feel like Donaldson is kind of like the Yankees were, like the Arizona was with Bumgarner. It's just like you're putting him out there because like
you're paying money for him.
And eventually the Yankees will just get to a point like the D-backs did where they're like, hey, you can't justify this anymore.
Yeah, you just see you later.
Well, first we got to get Aaron Hicks off the board before we even worry about Doc Donaldson.
Wish he could get injured too.
he's a rough guy to be running out in your outfield.
Oh, and we keep putting him out there, man. Come on. So many better options. Like, yeah. Oh, I just can't wait for Bader to be back. Should force him out, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope if Bader can hit well enough, he'll definitely force him out.
Yeah.
But not like Hicks hits well either, so it doesn't really.
No, it's not much competition.
Yeah.
200. All awesome. Right. Well, that's everything, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to get back in the swing of things with the fantasy.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. I was missing a little Fantasy Friday in my life.
Yeah, I love a good Fantasy Friday.
Like diving into some stats.
Exactly. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our episode and maybe you learned a little bit something. Go check out somebody on the waivers for yourself or maybe in a trade. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
See ya.